You were a rider, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
But you don't have your own horse.
That's right.
She was back in the saddle again.
I said, can I go ahead and take care of Midnight?
He allowed you to ride the horse in exchange for taking care of it.
I started cleaning out Midnight's stall.
Then she said, hold your horses.
This whole thing came to a head when you allowed somebody else to ride the horse, and she got angry.
Yes, Your Honor.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Gwendolyn Little is suing her former friend, Keith Harris, for the value of a horse and pain and suffering.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 496 on the calendar, the matter of Little versus Harris.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Miss Little, it is your claim that the defendant gave you a horse and then he took it back.
Yes, ma'am.
So you want to be compensated for the value of the horse and for pain and suffering, which is ridiculous. Mr. Harris said that there was no gift of the horse.
No.
He allowed you to ride the horse whenever you wanted in exchange for taking care of it for a period of 6 months. So let's start with you, Mr. Harris. I gather from your answer that you belong to some sort of a cooperative.
Yes, Your Honor, I do.
Is it a barn that's the cooperative?
Yes, ma'am. It's a barn that the co-op rents from the barn owner.
How many people are members of the co-op?
12, I think.
And do you pay a monthly charge?
Yes, we do.
What do you pay?
I pay $110 a month. It's $55 for each horse. I have two horses.
So you're charged by the horse?
Yes, ma'am.
And one of those horses is Midnight, the horse in question?
Yes, Your Honor.
Have you always paid the $110 to the co-op?
I haven't.
When did you start?
January of 2014, 2 months after Mr. Johnson gave me the horse.
Okay, but between January and 2014 and today, have you always paid the $110?
Yes, Your Honor.
And tell me about your conversation with Miss Little. Who was a rider? You were a rider, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. And I also help clean.
But you don't have your own horse.
That's right.
Now, you're familiar with this cooperative, I assume.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I assume that you've had an opportunity to ride horses within this property.
Yes.
For how long?
Since May of 2013.
Yeah. Whose horse were you riding in 2013?
2013, when I started with associating with the co-op, I was riding another man's horse and helping him clean his horses.
The other man's name was?
Forrest.
And your financial arrangement with him, I assume, was that in exchange for taking care of the horses, cleaning stalls or whatever, because you didn't pay him any money?
Right.
In exchange for work, you had the opportunity to ride whenever you wanted to.
Exactly.
One of the horses.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? I think I know about these things, right?
Mm. Very interesting.
Because if you don't own a horse, what you usually do is, if you rent them, you take over the monthly care of them and in exchange for riding them. Now, the reason I happen to know about your particular situation in 2013 was because I've heard my husband tell me the story probably 350 times.
Okay.
That when he was a kid, he loved to ride horses. And he lived in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a riding stable in the Bronx, but of course he didn't have money to ride. So in exchange for going in and cleaning out the stalls, he was allowed to ride a horse for an hour up and down the Grand Concourse, which then allowed the horses to be ridden up and down the Grand Concourse. So we used that story as an illustration for the children and for the grandchildren about how tough it was when he was a kid to get to ride a horse for an hour. He had to go in and work for 3 or 4 hours in order to clean up, right?
Right.
That's how I knew. You have to retain all this information.
I'm just picturing Jerry riding down.
Riding down the Grand Concourse when he was 9 years old on a horse. Anyway, now, there came a time when Mr. Harris came into possession of a horse by the name of Midnight. Midnight was given to you by whom, sir?
Mr. Johnson, Your Honor.
And you knew that Mr. Harris was given the horse by Mr. Johnson, Horse
yes,
Midnight.
Ma'am.
Now, I would like you to tell me the conversation that you claim you had with Mr. Harris with regard to Midnight.
Okay, it's got to be Midnight. Because Mr. Johnson only rode Midnight probably twice a year, and we used to laugh at that, Midnight, we all basically took time caring for Midnight. Sometimes, you know, whoever was available, throw some feed in there. But as far as maintaining his stall, it wasn't being done on a regular base. So after I finished working with Mr. Forrest, I said, well, look, I'll help you out with the horses and everything. And I started cleaning out Midnight's stall.
When Mr. Johnson had it?
Yes.
Okay, but Mr. Harris obtained the horse.
Right.
Now, let's come to you.
Mm-hmm. And then when I found out that he had obtained the horses, I said, well, Keith, you want to get rid of Midnight? Because he had mentioned that having the two horses was kind of expensive. I said, well, look, let me know how much the stall fee is. And if you want to get rid of Midnight, I could take over the stall fee. I asked him about how much the hay and the feeding and everything would be to maintain the horse, because I was really interested in Midnight.
How much did he tell you?
$55 a month.
Okay, so he said, I belong to the cooperative. If you pay $55 a month, go ahead.
I said, can I go ahead and take care of Midnight? Take over the payment of Midnight? Would you give me Midnight? And he said, well, let's think about it. So in the course of when I started paying him in April for Midnight, I said, well, Keith, how much do you want for the horse? And he said, well, Johnson gave him to me. I wouldn't charge you anything. I said, are you sure? Because I really want this horse. He said, Gwen, you keep paying Midnight the stall fee to me because we didn't want to switch everything in my name because we have a waiting list at the barn for people who wanted a house of horses. And they said if everyone found out that the horse was mine, they may kick him out. So that was why I was giving him the $55 a month.
Just a sec. How much money were you spending every month for the privilege for 6 months of riding the horse?
Approximately $150, $160.
A month?
A month, just
now,
about.
And you say you never had this conversation with her, that she was just renting the horse in order to...
Your Honor, not really renting the horse. To have access to the horse.
This whole thing came to a head when you allowed somebody else to ride the horse, and she got angry.
Yes, Your Honor.
And she said, why are you letting somebody else ride my horse? And you said, it's not your horse.
Correct, Your Honor.
Do you have any documents, Miss Little?
Yes, ma'am.
Documenting that Mr. Harris gave you the horse?
I don't have any documents because it was a verbal agreement.
Okay, let me ask you this question. You've been around horses for a long time. And I've had some more current, at least exposure, to people who lease horses for their children to ride on a monthly basis. For 6 months, you had full and complete access to this horse.
Yes, ma'am.
And for 6 months, as far as you know, you had exclusive access to the horse.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the approximate cost of renting a horse?
In our conversation, it wasn't about renting. He said, I will give you a horse. And when my mom, my witness, she came down one day and she even spoke with him and told him how he had made my dream come true as a child. All I had was talked about was owning a horse. So as far as answer to your question, I have no knowledge of anybody really renting a horse. Either a person will come in and clean the stall, provide husbandry.
Well, they do. I'm going to tell you that a lot of kids don't come in and clean the stalls. Their parents rent horses for them to learn how to ride horses. Sometimes lasts a little while, sometimes lasts longer.
Our agreement wasn't a written agreement. We had a verbal agreement, and we did the little dap thing as far as he stated. If I took over the payment for Midnight, that the horse was mine, I was able to take the horse out into the round pen, work with him, bond with him over the months.
That's great. But how do you fix a value of something that was allegedly, he says not, allegedly given to you as a gift?
How do I place the value? I have receipts where I've gone to, if it wasn't my horse, I have receipts where I went to the feed store, buying the bedding for the horse, and if it wasn't mine, I wouldn't have made that type of investment.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Because
I would have continued to just clean the horse as a rebel practice.
That wasn't your arrangement with him, according to Mr. Harris.
Okay.
He said, Gwen, you know, give me $55, which is what I pay for Midnight. You have exclusive
use of... No, Midnight
was
given to him. He didn't pay anything.
I want to know what your expenses were other than the $55.
My expenses were, I have receipts showing the feed store where I've many times went down to Standard's Feed.
What else?
See those?
Other than the feed store.
I went to Home Depot and bought like fly repellent, shampoo, things like that.
Keep going.
I purchased we were on a ride together, an annual ride. I went and I purchased a saddle out there, and everybody, the group was laughing because of the saddle, and that's one of the pictures here. And they say, oh, Lord, they're going to have midnight. You're going to have midnight looking like a little crazy
what
thing.
What else? You still have your saddle, don't
I
you?
I still have my saddle and
right.
everything.
Which
but
you
my
need.
Thing is, if he and I did not have that personal agreement, why would he? He had many opportunities to say, well, Gwen, wait a minute, hold up. You're
he had
buying
a lot of opportunities
horse.
To do a lot of things. And if you're going to have an agreement with him mm-hmm. to sell an animal and you want thousands of dollars from him now, you know, there's a certain equity. You had 6 months' worth of riding the horse. I don't know whether you cleaned out the stalls or not.
Yes, I did.
Really, in exchange for that, you've spent $55 a month. I don't care about the other things. That's nonsense. But you spend $55 a month. That seems like a bargain to me.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I even approached him and asked him, can I have the paperwork with Midnight's name
and
on it?
Fine. And what did he say to you?
He said, that's not really necessary.
Right. As soon as Mr. Harris said to you, you don't really need the papers, Gwen, then you're on notice.
And later today...
I understand he gave you the title. He says he gave you the title because he assumed that you were going to make payments, you and your mother. He says that neither one of you made the payments on the car. I want you to show me proof that you paid him.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Gwendolyn Little claims former friend Keith Harris gifted her a horse and then took it back. Keith says Gwendolyn was only caring for the horse in exchange for riding privileges.
Now, Miss Little, without some sort of a writing, and if there wasn't a meeting of the minds with regard to your actual ownership of mm-hmm. this horse, as opposed to... Well, it's sort of a loosey-goosey arrangement.
It was a loosey-goosey arrangement because if the defendant would tell the truth, I even approached him at one point and asked him before this incident, can I have the paperwork with Midnight's name
and
on it?
Fine. And what did he
it's
say to you?
Ownership.
Just a second. And what did he say?
He said, that's not really necessary.
Right,
and
right.
And I feel that at that time he should have said, well, Gwen, you don't need paperwork
whatever,
because you're not an owner.
You're
wrong.
I mean, it's very possible that Mr. Harris was saying, listen, she's paying the $55 a month. Mm-hmm. She's taking care of the horse. I let her ride the horse. All is fine. I'm certainly not giving her the papers because there are papers for the horse, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That
yes.
you have. And you know he has the papers for the
mm-hmm.
horse.
Yes, ma'am.
So, well, Miss Little, I can't help you. As soon as Mr. Harris said to you, you don't really need the papers, Gwen, then you're on notice that whatever verbal agreement you thought you had in your head, you didn't have.
But, Your Honor, what happened about the rest of the 6 months that he and I have conversations?
Miss Little,
as far as...
just listen to okay. what I'm saying to you. Papers. I want the papers. You knew he had papers at the very beginning. Can I have the papers? 2 months later, can I have the papers?
I've only asked him one time about the papers.
Well, then you should have. If you're an experienced horse person, then you know about it. I'm not helping you because you don't have a meeting of the minds with him. Because if he actually thought that he gave you the horse, he wouldn't have allowed somebody else to ride it without asking your permission.
Correct,
you let,
Your Honor.
Who did you
Your
let
Honor,
ride?
I also have a letter that she written me after this incident. Said she did all she did for the horse for the enjoyment of having access to the horse.
May I see it?
Yes, ma'am.
No, that's not what this letter says.
Underline.
Well, actually, this letter doesn't help you, sir. This letter actually suggests that she believed that the horse was hers because she wants from you all the money that she spent taking care of the horse and the rent for the horse. What I'm saying is, I don't think that that was an unreasonable amount because she actually had total access to the horse for the entire period of time. So, your case is dismissed, Miss Little. Thank you very much. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
He and I had a verbal agreement that because there was a waiting list at the barn...
She was trying to get something for nothing.
...that we were keeping me, just paying him the money so they wouldn't kick me and the horse out.
And you just can't get a sound horse free.
Be careful who you work with.
Watch who you help in the horse business.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter, Jones versus Walker. Step forward.
Jason Jones is suing 20-year-old Sergio Walker for the unpaid balance on a car he sold him.
Mr. Jones, you sold Mr. Walker a car for $3,500, and he put a down payment on the car, and he was supposed to make payments on the car. And it is your claim that he still owes about $2,500 on the car. He refuses to return the car. He refuses to finish the payments on the car. And you can't repossess the car because he has the title.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I understand that this was not your private vehicle, but you do some selling of cars to make some extra money.
Yes, ma'am.
On What date did you sell Mr. Walker the car?
On June 30th, 2014.
What kind of car was it?
A 2004 Chevy Impala.
How many cars did you sell in 2014?
I probably sold about four cars.
How many cars did you sell in 2013?
Maybe five.
So it's a regular business for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Why would you give Mr. Walker the title to the car without a lien if he hadn't paid for it?
This was one of the first deals that I did as far as putting him on a payment plan. Normally, I just do cash deals. Mr. Walker came to me through his mother, saying that he needed a car. He only had $800 to put down on the car, and would I work with him?
So the other cards that you bought and sold were sold for cash?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you know his mother?
She came and bought a car through me as well.
When did she buy a car from you?
It may have been in June as well.
And she paid cash?
Well, she paid a down payment as well.
What do you mean she made a down payment? And payments?
Yes, ma'am.
So this is not the first car that you sold for a down payment and payments. So I'm going to ask you again. Why would you give him the title to the car without a notice of lien on the car if he only made a down payment to you?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
We normally do the business through cash.
Well, you can give him a check. A check to him made out to his name is like cash.
With me being younger, I felt it would be
better. Your mother's not younger.
My mother's not here either.
I know she's not. She could be here, though, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Instead, you brought him.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jason Jones says he sold a car to Sergio Walker and has never been paid in full.
Okay, his defense is that he paid you, which he's going to be able to prove to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Where's your mother?
She's currently at home because she just won a case with Jason, and they have a personal relationship. This is why it has gotten to this level of the first time he's doing it.
It's absolutely more not.
Than what kind of case did your mother just win against him?
Summary court for the same thing. He was suing her for the same amount for her and Paula, and he lost. So I guess he just wanted to take it upon me, since I was younger, to sue me too.
And that matter was adjudicated already?
We went to court. The judge couldn't make a decision right then. He said he would mail the judgment out later, and I still haven't received it. So it's an ongoing family issue with the mother and Mr. Walker. Both of them have got cars from me, and I have sued both of them.
Did you ever sue anyone else in small claims court, Mr. Jones, for the balance on a car?
No, ma'am.
This is the first time?
Yes, ma'am.
So now, did you ever sue anyone else in small claims court, Mr. Jones, for the balance on a car?
No, ma'am.
This is the first time?
Yes, ma'am.
So now you're going to prove to me that you paid him the $3,500.
Yes, ma'am.
Ready to see it?
I got right here my title.
Put the title down. I understand he gave you the title. He says he gave you the title because he assumed that you were going to make payments, you and your mother.
Yes, ma'am.
He says that neither one of you made the payments on the car, which is why he's suing both of you. Your mother someplace else and you here. I want you to show me proof that you paid him.
I got a Wells Fargo transaction.
What?
Wells Fargo transaction.
I'd love to see it.
Okay.
Mr. Walker, all it says here is that you made a cash withdrawal.
And it's the right amount that I said I had paid him, which is $2,800.
No, actually, it says $2,820.
An extra $20 for gas.
I'm just asking you, Mr. Walker.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And that, sir, was in October. Car was purchased in June. You're a pretty smart young man.
Yes, ma'am.
Why wouldn't you give him a check if you were paying him in full?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Go ahead.
Like he said, he normally do the business through cash.
No. You can give him a check. A check to him made out to his name is like cash.
Well, me being younger, I felt it would be
your
better.
Your mother's not younger.
My mother's not here either.
I know she's not. She could be here, though, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Instead, you brought him.
Yes, ma'am.
When he made payments to you, did you give him receipts?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
I'd like to see the copies of the receipts that you
Would you like to see the original agreement as well?
Yes. Are these the only three payments that he made to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any proof that you made any other payments, sir?
No, ma'am.
judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,541. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Some get clever.
It's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I'm going to tell you what.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
He took advantage of my age.
I didn't feel like he was going to take advantage.
Not only at me being young, but me not knowing my first car purchase.
I felt like I was going to give him an opportunity and he was going to do right by it.
He attacked me and assaulted me.
He had his girlfriend call the police and said I was punching him in the face, which I wasn't.
You can't trust everybody.
Lesson learned.
You want rent money from her.
There's also a cell phone that I lent to her to use.
Are you paying the bill for your cell phone?
No, they told me that I did not have to pay the bill. My phone was my gift. It was a gift to me.
Your Honor, that's wrong. It's a lie.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Joby Welton and fiancée Bonnie Carr are suing their former friend, Cynthia Custer, for rent, living expenses, and an insurance deductible for a cell phone.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 354 on the calendar in the matter of Walden Carr versus Custer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat.
How are you related? Are you boyfriend and girlfriend?
She's my fiance.
Where do you live?
We just recently moved to Matthias, West Virginia.
Where did you live when you were involved with the defendant?
Harrisonburg, Virginia.
In what kind of premises?
Student dorm.
What were you doing living in a student dorm?
We were both currently online students.
You get to live in a dorm if you're an online student?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Who pays for that?
We pay for it ourselves from our jobs that we have.
Is there any assistance that you get for that room?
No, ma'am.
Any subsidy that you get for that room?
No, ma'am.
How much was your rent?
$250 a month.
And how many rooms did you have?
We had one room, and we was paying for a room for Cynthia as well.
I'm just talking about you. Your room was how much?
$250.
And that's just one room in a suite of rooms.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
What month and year did you meet the defendant?
We met her the last part of April.
Where did you meet her?
It's like a little club, a little place you can go to for everybody to go eat dinner and stuff like that.
And is that where you met her?
Yes.
What was she doing there?
My fiance.
Part of April.
Where did you meet her?
It's like a little club, a little place you can go to for everybody to go eat dinner and stuff like that.
And is that where you met her?
Yes.
What was she doing there?
My fiance. She does karaoke. She does sing.
What was the defendant doing there?
Drinking and singing.
And you met her in April?
Yes, ma'am.
And you invited her to come and live with you?
No, she actually came to us asking, you know, for some help because she told me and my fiance that she was staying in a tent in the woods and everything for a while with a bunch of her friends.
Staying in a tent?
Yes.
So what did you say to her?
I said, you know, we can help you out.
Now, just a second. Did you ask her what she did for a living?
Actually, I kind of knew what she did a little bit.
What did she do?
She was helping out. She did miscellaneous things because we got her job with her. For us, we were doing carnival work.
Carnival work?
Yes.
And is that what she was doing, too?
She didn't do the carnival work until I got her on there with us. She was doing small jobs. I can't remember exactly what she was doing at the time. But when she came to us asking for a job and some help, I called my boss. My boss went in and said, yeah, bring her in.
Was that in April?
Yeah, we got her in April all the way up through the season to help her out.
And how much was she earning?
Basic annual for the minimum wage was about $7.50 to $8 an hour, and she was being paid $8 an hour.
Now, when you say you were helping her out by letting her come to live with you.
The arrangement was if we let her come over and stay with us, she had her room she had to pay rent on, or she can pay rent to us to stay over in our room.
So what did she do?
We let her stay in our room first for a few bits. That was to help get her started up.
No, in what month did she stay with you?
She stayed in our room the last 2 weeks of April, and then she moved into bedroom C the 1st of May. And she was there in that room, and then she kept staying like two nights a week in our room.
Why would she stay two nights a week in your room if she had her own room?
She didn't feel comfortable sleeping over there because...
The other roommate we had issues with him.
Oh, so she had to stay with somebody in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the whole room was $250.
Yes.
What it is, the apartment, it's 3 bedrooms. Each bedroom is $250. We had a guy that was staying in bedroom A, which is the first bedroom.
Are you the primary tenant?
The way it was set up, apartment A was the main one, and then everybody else fell in line behind that. So the one roommate we had staying in apartment room A, he had his section paying $250 a month for his rent and bills. At the same time, the electric, the water, and all that was supposed to be divided up between all 3 rooms, since we all use the same electricity and same water system.
You want rent money from her?
From what I've been paying out for the other room that she was supposed to be using.
For the other room? Show me that you've been paying out for the other room when she's staying in your room. Don't give me a whole bunch of papers. Show me where you've been paying for her room.
We had our landlord mark it down for you from our room and her room.
This doesn't show me anything. I don't know who this is. Okay, give this back to them.
I wasn't even on the lease.
What?
I wasn't even on the lease. They didn't have me sign a lease or nothing.
You don't have to sign a lease, Miss Custer.
And?
Miss Custer, listen to me carefully. Were you working?
No.
You weren't working in the carnival?
No, Your Honor.
How were you supporting
yourself?
Actually,
when he got me...
How were you supporting yourself?
I was living with one of my friends, my grandma, like anybody that... My grandma said that her doors are always...
Don't tell me what your grandma said. I asked you how you were supporting yourself. Food, the clothes that you're wearing, your socks, your underpants. How were you supporting yourself from April?
My cousin, Your Honor, my cousin right here. She basically paid for everything for me.
Then she should have paid your rent.
They did.
Or stay with her.
She did stay with me until she moved in with them. They asked her to move in with them.
Stand up. Move over. I mean, unless this is one of the weirdest cases I've had in a very long time, if she was staying with you and happy, which is what you said,
yes,
and you were supporting her, why would she move to stay with two strange people? Just look at me. Give me a reason.
Because they went out, like I said, every weekend they went out, and she would go with them. Like, she stayed with them so she could go out. And like they said, they were trying to get her a job working with them. That's what they were trying to do. So that's why she moved in with them, to get a job, because she was coming to work with me, helping me do what I do, because I'm a nurse. So I was giving her some of my check to help her pay her bills and rent and stuff with me. So she moved in with them to get her a job and get her stable, and it didn't happen like that. It blew up in her face.
So if it didn't work out like that, why didn't she come back and live with you?
She did, actually.
Great. Well, if she wasn't working and if it didn't work out, why did she stay with them? I don't understand. To go out and party on the weekend? I mean, I'm at a loss. I don't understand.
I also sing karaoke, Your Honor. Like, that's why I mostly went out, was to sing karaoke. And yes, I'd have...
I mean, that's your job? You get money for that?
No.
Well, then who cares if you sing karaoke? I won $500 singing. I sing in the bathroom.
I did win $500 singing karaoke.
Who's supposed to pay your rent?
They told me that I didn't have to pay any rent. That it was just a place for me to stay while I got onto my feet.
How long did it take you to get on your feet?
I'm still not on my feet. I'm living with her.
How many months did she live with you?
She lived with us May, June, and July. She left the 1st of August, and we even have a message from her where she was coming back to get her stuff on August 3rd.
So according to you, she was with you in between this other room and your room for 3 months.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. What else?
There was also a cell phone that I lent to her to use. I was fine with that. I lent her the phone to use it. I gave her one, too. I split up between both of them. The deal was, you can use the phone for work and everything, but you pay the half of the bill of what you rack. She had no problem with that. They both agreed to pay their half of the bill. I had no problems from there. I agreed to the terms of it. Well, the bill came along. Tried to get in contact with her. Couldn't get a hold of her. Sent text messages, called her, voicemails.
We had to end up reporting this phone stolen to get a replacement phone. Had to pay a deductible to get a replacement phone.
Where's the phone?
It's at home, Your Honor.
Why?
Because I left, like...
What?
I left my phone at home. When I don't have any use for it, I leave.
Are you paying the bill for your cell phone?
No, they told me that I did not have to pay the bill. Like, my phone was my gift. It was a gift to me.
Your Honor, that's wrong. It's a lie.
Just a second. How much was the phone?
$449.
All I want to know, you didn't give her a $400 phone. There is no question in my mind that you didn't give her a $400 phone.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I do believe that she stayed with you in your room. Do you think it's reasonable for her to pay for staying in your room?
Originally, I told her, no, whatever she can afford at the time being.
Whatever she could afford nothing. That's what she says. She was living in a tent in the backyard.
And later today,
the ball is in your court to explain to me why you don't owe her the balance of the contract. And your answer that I paid her enough is not a defense. You got me?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joby Weldon and fiancé Bonnie Carr claim former friend and roommate Cynthia Custer owes for rent, living expenses, and an insurance deductible.
Now, you got two phones.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get one for free?
I had actually got a contract, two-year contract deal.
So you had to disconnect her phone.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you have to pay to disconnect her phone?
The disconnection fee for the phone was...
That you have there?
Yes.
How much?
It's a $100 deductible that we have.
That's all. So it's $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer. Fine. How many months did you live with them?
I'm thinking it's April, May, and June. No, May, June, July. Sorry.
So, A, I don't believe that you paid anything for the second room. I do believe that she stayed with you in your room. She has to pay something for rent. But if you paid $250, what do you think is reasonable for her to pay for staying in your room?
Pretty much all I would ask for, you know, for to stay in a room, at least $100 at least, you know.
Well, what did you tell her?
Originally, I told her, you know, whatever she can afford at the time being with working with us.
That's what I thought. She owes you $100 for the phone. If you didn't have a contract, what are you doing here? Whatever she could afford nothing. That's what she says. She was living in a tent in the backyard. You have any proof that you got her a job?
Not on paperwork, because we're all paid by cash.
She owes you $100 for the disconnect fee. Judgment for the plaintiff, that's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Schultz versus Hansen. Step forward.
Christine Schultz is suing her son's ex-girlfriend, 18-year-old Taylor Hansen, for the balance on a car she sold her and money loaned for repairs.
How old are you, Miss Hansen?
18.
You used to be Miss Schultz's son's girlfriend.
Correct.
And while you were together, you purchased a car from Miss Schultz.
Yes, ma'am.
For how much?
$2,000.
And when did you purchase the car?
October of last year, I believe.
When you were 17?
Yes, ma'am.
So you were legally unable to enter into a contract. You do understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So your agreement with her was that you would pay her so much money each month.
Yes, ma'am.
How much money?
It was $50 out of each paycheck, so a total of $100 a month.
And you did pay her back for a long time.
Yes, I did.
How much money did you pay her?
I believe it was close to $1,000. I'm not sure exactly how much.
How much money did she pay you?
$850.
That's close to $1,000. When did you make your last payment to her?
I'm not 100% sure.
Did she put the car in your name?
Yes.
And she put the car in your name when you turned 18?
No, she put the car in my name when I bought it from her that day.
When you were 17?
Yes.
And did you register it?
Yes.
In your name?
Yes.
When did you turn 18?
February of this year.
And when did you and her son break up?
June of this year.
So it would be fair to say that between February and June, you did pay her.
No, I didn't. That's not true.
So if you say you didn't, then you would know when your last payment was.
I feel like it wasn't any time this year. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think I did.
I have a payment schedule of all the payments.
When was her last payment to you?
April 23rd.
Well, while you couldn't enter into a contract with her when you were 17, if you ratify that contract, that's what we call it in legalese, after you turn 18, by making a payment, which you did, because she says you made one in April and you don't remember, so I have to rely on her. That means even though if she would have sued you when you were 18, mm-hmm. and if you hadn't made any payments to her after February, mm-hmm. I would have said to you, you're out of luck. Do you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
But since you did, in fact, ratify the contract by acknowledging it, by making a payment after you turned 18, now the ball is in your court to explain to me why you don't owe her the balance of the contract. And your answer that I paid her enough on this piece of junk car is not a defense. You got me?
Yes.
Great.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
What is your relationship to Miss Gardner?
I guess you could say ex-friend.
Just a friend?
Yep.
Yep is not an answer in court.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Better. Your Honor would even be better.
Yes, Your Honor.
Perfect.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Christine Schultz says her son's ex-girlfriend, Taylor Hansen, owes for the balance on a car and a loan for repairs. Taylor says Christine sold her a lemon.
No, I'm all ears.
The reason why I didn't pay her after that was because I was putting money into the car and I could no longer afford to make the payment. And we had an agreement that I no longer owed her money for the car.
Oh, well, tell me about that. I want to hear about that agreement. Where did it take place?
In May.
So in May, well, that sort of coincides with what she said, that you made your last payment in April, April 23rd. So where did this conversation take place?
At her home.
Well, let me hear the story.
I told her that I no longer wanted to pay for the car because of all the repairs, nor could I afford to pay for it and still maintain the insurance and everything else for the car. And she agreed that...
No, and what did she say to you?
She said that's fair, that I've put a lot of money into the car.
You remember that conversation?
This conversation never took place. I never said anything to her about never paying any more for this car. In fact, in May, we paid for a repair that she promised to pay us back for. Why would I continue to pay for a repair in May if I'm not going to get any more payments for the car?
But you acknowledge that she and your son were together
they
at
were
the
dating,
time
yeah.
when you paid for the one repair on the car.
Well, actually, we paid for two, and she paid us back the one in January, but then she never paid us back in May.
And how much was the one in May?
$260.93.
Now, how did it come about that you made that payment?
She had asked us that the car needed a repair, and she didn't have the money. So we took the car down and had it repaired by a shop that my husband does the accounting
for. Had you paid her back the first time that they paid for repairs for the car?
Yes, ma'am.
Why didn't you pay her back this time?
Because I felt like I didn't owe her anything after the conversation we had.
You owe her $913, judgment for the plaintiff. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Gardner versus McNamara. Step forward.
19-year-old Kayla Gardner is suing her former friend, 20-year-old Cole McNamara, for an unpaid loan to buy a motorcycle.
Mr. McNamara, what do you do for a living?
I'm a construction worker.
And what is your relationship to Miss Gardner?
I guess you could say ex-friend.
Just a friend?
Yep.
Yep is not an answer in court.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Better. Your Honor would even be better.
Yes, Your Honor.
Perfect. Now, Miss Gardner, sometime last year, gave you money to buy some sort of a bike.
Yes, Your Honor. A dirt bike. Motocross bike.
Why did you need a motocross bike?
There's a race coming up, and I was really itching to race.
And you went yourself to try to get credit.
Yes.
And who did you go to try to get credit?
The University of Iowa Community Credit Union.
So you went in?
Yep. Yes, ma'am. Your Honor.
And you sat down and you said, I'm 19 years old, and I have a job, and I want to buy a bike.
Yes.
And I need an $850 loan. And what did they tell you?
They said, we can't do it today because you haven't had an account with us for long enough. And then on top of that, they said my credit score was not quite high enough. I would need a cosigner. So
I assume you were disappointed, Mr. McNamara.
Yes.
Now, you're an honorable person, I assume, even though you've been incarcerated recently. Is that right?
Yes.
But you want to be an honorable person. So I assume that if you went into the credit union last May and borrowed this money from them, that you intended to pay them back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, you'd go to jail again, right?
Correct.
And you didn't intend to steal their money.
Correct.
You intended to buy the bike, pay for it, and pay it off slowly.
Mm-hmm.
They said no to you, and you were itching to ride in this race. You got where I'm going, Mr. McNamara?
Yes.
I didn't hear that right.
Yes, Your Honor.
Better.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
So you went to Ms. Gardner, and you must have told her that your credit was turned down.
She was with me.
She was with you. Tell me why she was with you.
We had been hanging out that day, and one of my buddies asked me if I was racing this weekend, And I said no, because I haven't gotten a bike. So I asked her, hey, you care if we stop by this bank up here up the road and see if I can get a loan for this motocross bike? And she said, yeah. So we went. It was denied. Then we were chilling in the parking lot, and she was like, well, how much do you need? I was like, well, $850 would buy this bike that I'd been looking at. And she was like, well, I'll give you the money. And
Your Honor, he's lying.
She said, I'll give you the money, and you can pay me back.
Perfect! Did you pay her back?
No.
Jump, 1 second. There we go. So easy this is. Shooting fish in a barrel. You did buy the bike. You did buy the bike.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you pay her back?
The conditions were, if I won the race...
Did you pay her back?
No, ma'am.
Judging for the plaintiff in the amount of $850. Thank you very much. That's all. You've been fun, Mr. McNamara.
Why is that excuse?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Some get clever.
It's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I want to tell you what happened.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
She's a judge, so I say she did what was right.
I think it was fair.
If I won the race, I would pay her back. And if not, she wasn't worried about the money, really.
He was going to do it if he won, but he also was going to pay me back anyways if he lost.
I guess buy your own and know what girls you're messing around with.
Never loan anyone money, ever.